You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Everyone calls me Cromie, but my real name is Cronormu.
And Daryl.
It's Lich King, not Lick King.
Wow. Pulled that one out of the vault, dude. Welcome to episode 230 of The Training Dummies, recorded on December 20th, just a couple of days here before Christmas. My name is Rob, and I'm very excited for the show tonight. I'm super excited as I'm adjusting this camera. I did the new Dark Shore Warfront, I guess.
Is that available now?
Warfront. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll have to do that after
this. Yes. Yep. Daryl, what have you been up to, man?
Not the Warfront, obviously. Actually, just got back from my daughter's Christmas concert tonight. So this is the first year since I've had two kids in school that I only had to do one Christmas concert this year.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff. Because, I'm just going to leave it at that. All good. Only one this year. It's perfect.
Well, let's waste no time here. We have another repeat family member coming back on the show. It's been almost 5 years, so we need an extra.
Is it really that long? Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like March of 2014, I think. Maybe it's been 4 years, 5 years. I don't know. Yeah, crazy. I'd have to double check, but I think it's been 4 years. But yeah, so let's get an extra warm Training Dummies welcome for Faye Bellina.
So Faye Bellina, thank you guys for having me.
She didn't have the video tonight, so I dug up a picture of BlizzCon 2018 where we got to meet her cosplaying as her real life self. So. It was a good moment. Thanks so much for coming back. It's definitely been a while. Why don't you just give us a little bit of like what you've been up to? How's life been treating you? And do you actually have time to play the games that we love so much? Or
things have been great. I moved to a different state. I live in Atlanta now, and I love living in the city. I do play, but not nearly as much as I used to. Art takes pretty much up most of my time.
Oh, I think we lost you, Fabe.
You good?
There you go.
There we go. Right.
Yeah, you disappeared for a sec. But
yeah, art takes up most of my time, but I try to get in as much gaming as I can when I can. And I've been really enjoying the new Night Elf stuff.
Mm-hmm. Not even sure what all that is. Like they get new fancy eyes or something, but what else is there other than that?
Well, I mean, do you want spoilers?
I'm probably never going to play it, so it's not a spoiler for me. It's just information at this point.
Yeah. So far, I've only done the Alliance side, but we get to see Maiev and Chandris chase after Tyrande, who's gone her own way.
Oh, really?
Against Anduin's wishes, and we find her performing a ritual to gain power to fight Horde that is quite dangerous. And we get to be a part of that. So that's a lot of what the scenario is about.
Ah, cool.
I did I think you get a little glimpse of it on the Horde side when you're running into her. She, you know, it shows her doing the little ritual and becoming a warrior of what's the name for it? Like a knight warrior?
Yeah, the knight warrior.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, man, that's pretty amazing. Like the stuff that's going on with the, you know, how Jaina stepped up her game and now Tyrande, it's like pretty awesome. I'm digging it. Are you still 100% loyal to the Night Elves? Are you looking at finally going Horde?
Well, I do have a Horde main. I have a Goblin Shaman that I like to play in my Horde Guild Reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And I get to see the other side of the story with her because BFA is so story driven. I feel like you're missing out if you're not getting both sides, at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Daryl and I have been slowly.
Yeah.
Doing an alliance leveling, you know, kind of a side stream thing. And I don't even know, what are we at? Like 105, 106 now?
We're in the 114 maybe, 115.
Oh, that's, yeah. what year is this? Yeah, 115, we're about halfway there.
That's funny.
Slow moving train, but
it is very slow.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other questions, Daryl, before we get into...
No, I don't think so. I think we can hop into this here pretty quick. All right, if you have any questions or comment or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Daryl, is at Daryl underscore TTD. Also, if you like the show and want to support us, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligation, of course. We're just happy that you listen.
So, I guess it's been about 4 years, huh? So, I guess it was like 2015. It was the beginning of 2015. So, you said, Fabe, that you've moved to Atlanta now. Is there anything I'm assuming that you've gone full time with being able to do art now. Is that you're just self-employed? What does that look like for you?
Yep, I'm self-employed, and I thought taxes would be difficult to navigate, but thankfully I had help and they weren't. Mm-hmm. I do have a side job, but it's not really something that pays the bills. It's more something that I volunteered for. I help exchange students. I'm a representative.
Oh, nice.
So I really do that on the side, but mostly it's art.
That is so amazing. I do you feel like it's really been like Warcraft and gaming that's kind of done that for you? I mean, you obviously had the talent to begin with, but do you feel like it kind of like, how do you think that door just really opened for you?
Yeah, I think the Warcraft community in general is just extremely accepting of artists, and they really like to support artists and creators within their community. So I don't think I would have what I have today without Warcraft.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, because I know you were doing a lot of stuff early on, and I don't know, it's always good. You've always been like incredibly talented, but it just seems like it's gotten better and better and better over time. So I don't know if I can't draw at all. I can draw like stick figures and stuff, but like seeing your stuff and seeing like how far you've come, and now it's basically your career. That's like, it's kind of amazing. Are you how far do you see this going? Do you think that you're gonna be able to just kind of be indefinite with it, or are you making plans to branch out and do anything else? Or
all I do are advanced stick figures, so you can totally do it. I believe in you. But nice. I'm working on my first art book right now. It's gonna have pretty much all Blizzard art in it.
Sweet.
But I would like to branch out later on into creating my own coffee table art book. Sometime within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's the big life goal. And then after that, I guess we'll see what happens. But I've definitely planned to diversify later on, but fan art is one of my biggest passions. So I don't see that going away anytime soon.
Nice.
What can you tell us about the book you're working on now? Like give us an exclusive. Like is it kind of going to be a comic, like a story graphic novel kind of thing, or...
I am planning on making a graphic novel soon. I'm working on that right now. I'm working on the concepts and fleshing out the story. But the book that I'm working on is just a compilation of my favorite things that I worked on over the year 2018. So it's kind of like an end of the year collection.
Awesome.
Nice.
So, and then you're going to put that together, and then it'll be available for purchase, or?
Yep. It's going to be available for sale. You know, pending actually getting it printed and in my hands and seeing if it's good enough.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, I'd love to get my hands on that, so I will keep my eyes posted. Why don't you talk a little bit about BlizzCon? It doesn't have to be this year, but obviously this, you know, everyone's kind of focused on the most recent one. Why don't you talk a little bit about your experience with BlizzCon and being able to do some cosplay?
BlizzCon this year was amazing, not only because I got to meet more people than ever this year, and I got to spend a lot of quality time with people, but because this was the first year I got to do a cosplay that I worked on around 7 months with my grandmother. So we started drafting designs in February and sewing, so it was a pretty intense project. But being to be my character at BlizzCon and have people recognize me from far away was really cool.
Yeah, that was super amazing. What did you get to do anything at like the Con Before the Storm or any of the other events?
Yeah, I got to do a signing at Con Before the Storm. They did it a little bit differently this year, which gave me more time with each person who came to say hello, and I really appreciated that. It was a very lovely experience.
Yeah, I really liked, you know, there was a few people, yourself, Talia, and Inevitable, there were some folks that just had like the line was wrapped around for a long, long ways. And I know that they did their best to try and give everybody the opportunity to hang out and meet, you know, their favorite community folks and streamers and everything. I'm glad we got to run into you too. It's kind of a very, very busy time there. I did snag that picture and put it in there. So that was, it was really, really fun to run into you.
We actually saw you before that point, though, totally unexpected, when we were at our BlizzCon tour. Just starting, all of a sudden, turn around, and there's Fabelina. It's like, whoa, that was amazing. That was so cool.
I remember very little of who I talked to that day because I was just so stunned being there.
Yeah,
that I
no had kidding, to eh?
My husband later, what did they say to me? I completely blacked out because I was having so much.
That was so awesome. Yeah, we had to go tour of the mothership, and we turned around, and there's Fabelina and Scorn right there in the lobby there at the Blizz HQ.
Oh, and there talking to chat is Lance, the person who gave us the tour, which was awesome. So I actually want to jump back to your cosplay here. Now you, I'm trying to recall exactly what it was, but is it one of your creations that you cosplayed as?
Yes. Okay. I designed a new outfit for my character, and then my grandmother, who used to make costumes for the local theater, was telling me what would work in fabric and what wouldn't.
Okay,
so
nice.
She kind of guided the design to something realistic that we could do. And my first draft, she was like, no, that's not fancy enough.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I was like, Grandma, it's my first cosplay, so I don't want to do anything too wild. And she's like, if you're going to do it, you need to do it, you know, make this fantasy outfit that you want to wear. So there were quite a few people who were confused at BlizzCon who didn't know who I was, and they looked at my outfit and they're like, I feel like I should know this, but I don't know what it is. I was like, it's okay.
So did you design this particular costume in mind with it becoming, did you design it for your character knowing that it was going to be cosplay, or did you just pick something that you had already and then build the cosplay off of that?
I took some elements that I already had in her design and made them more comfortable to wear in real life, and also made sure it was something that I could see myself drawing over and over again because I knew I would not only have to wear it, but I'd have to draw it lots of times.
Nice.
What was your favorite part about BlizzCon this year?
Oh, man. I mean, the opening ceremonies are always my favorite part, but I think seeing the Terror of Darkshore cinematic in person on the big screen was my favorite part, because I was in Night Elf cosplay and my guild was sitting with me and everyone in the row with me leaned over to see my reaction to Night Elves being awesome. And it was amazing. That was my favorite moment. Besides, there was a little girl who came up to me and told me that she loved my work, and that was really sweet too. So those are tied for.
That's amazing. Like when you meet somebody that, or you know, you see somebody that you're not expecting at all, that comes up and like tells you that you've impacted their life. That's a pretty amazing thing. Daryl, I think you had another question here that I cut you off a second ago. Or do you
I was gonna start jumping down on the list here because I'm.
Yeah.
So I may have mentioned it, maybe even the last time that it's something I'd like to get into more of, is doing some of the art and stuff. I have a small amount of artistic ability that I haven't used in a very long time. I did one picture of my warlock and kind of left it at that. And I'm like, oh, I had all these big plans for this year too. Like my plan was to like surprise like all the guildies with their own badge that I had done myself. I didn't do any of it. Like I didn't even do one for myself. But anyway, time is an issue. But if I do decide to start getting into this, what are some of the tools and software that you're using that are easy to use? Because that's something else I'd struggle with as well, is the ease of use. That might be good for me or for a beginner to pick up.
I would say determine what you want to do with your art first, and then that would determine how much you would want to put into equipment and what kind of tools you want to be using. Because, for instance, I use Photoshop, but I want to do this professionally. So I want to use a program that is pretty standard in the industry, but you might want to use something that's a little bit more user-friendly, like Manga Studio or Procreate or Paint Tool Sci or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends. I use a Cintiq 22 HD, which weighs like 18 pounds. It's a big boy, but they're a lot cheaper tools on the market that work just as well. Like, everyone thinks you need some fancy programs, or you need fancy brushes, or you need fancy tools, but the reality is you don't. Those things are just a luxury if you want to invest in them and you use them a lot, you know, but you can make amazing things on the cheapest Intuos.
Mm-hmm. What was that thing that you just said? I don't know what that is.
Oh, the Cintiq?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like having a second monitor that you can draw on. So it's a little bit like drawing on paper, but you're drawing directly on the screen instead of a lot of tablets are not a screen, and you draw with your eyes up looking at a screen while your hand is down. And that's a little bit hard for some people to get used to.
Yeah.
So using a Cintiq, and there are lots of other monitor tablets that are similar to a Cintiq that aren't in that same price range. They're a little bit more natural, I think, for people to use. And for long days of drawing, like I do every day, it's really helpful to be able to lift it and move it and sit more naturally with it.
Right.
I know that there's stuff that you can do, like, even on just, like, an iPad. You know, if you get, like, the little pencil attachment and whatnot. I've seen all sorts of these shows where people are doing design stuff and tattoo work, and they're all just basically drawing on an iPad. Do you have any experience with anything like that, Fabe?
I don't. I have a sneaking suspicion that Scorn is going to surprise me with something like that in the near future. But there are so many people who have mobile tablets like that, and they can draw while they're on their couch, or they're on a plane, or, you know, visiting friends or family. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of being able to take your digital art with you outside too, which is really nice. There are lots and lots of options these days for digital artists.
So if you do end up getting a surprise like that, maybe let me know what that is, because it's something, because there's enough iPads around this house. Like, it's something I think I could easily get into more than, you know, buying a whole new tablet or something like that. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know how it works out. If it happens.
If it happens.
If air quotes, if, yeah. Right. You mentioned, you know, not necessarily needing some of the higher end and luxury, you know, maybe some of the stuff's just quality of life. Once you know that you're going to be taking it a little more seriously, do you only work in digital art right now, or are you doing anything with physical, you know, drawing, brushes, paints, that kind of stuff?
I keep a physical sketchbook, but it doesn't get as much use nearly as much as my digital stuff does, just because I constantly have jobs in the digital field. I stay sharp with those skills, but I feel like working on my traditional skills would be a good asset to have as well. So that's something I try to do every now and then. I probably should do more of it, but I've also recently been getting back into working with clay and then painting those figures that play. So a little bit of traditional paint, but I'm not very good with it, if I'm honest.
So what clay, kind of, what kind of stuff are you doing with the clay then? That's intriguing.
Just Sculpey, regular clay like that. I made some ornaments for my geeky Christmas tree that I keep on my desk while I work. And when I was little, I used to make lots of tiny figurines. So I've been rekindling that passion on this.
That's amazing. It's like, you know, when you meet somebody that's like super talented, it seems like there's no end to that. So, like, you're doing all this amazing drawing stuff, and then you're doing clay figurines. I bet are you a musician as well? A lot of creative people kind of do everything.
I do play the piano and a little bit of guitar, but I'm not great at the guitar. I used to write music, and I've been trying to get back into playing the piano as a hobby, because for a while it was kind of like a job for me. And so I needed a few years to kind of regain my relationship with the piano. And I've actually got a music book sitting on it right now that's got like all the Night Elf Starting Zone music, and I'm trying to relearn that on the piano and fall in love with it again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm onto something. If you're wondering why you have no time for Warcraft anymore, I think I might have a clue between the drawing and now you're talking about clay and piano as well and writing music.
Mm-hmm. I constantly have to be making something. I've never understood when people tell me they're bored. I was never a kid that could get bored. Yeah. I always can find something to keep my interest, but then the problem comes that I can't stop and just go have fun and relax. I have to be constantly doing and making and seeing something happen, you know.
Yeah, I told my daughter the other night, we kind of hang out a little bit before her bedtime and we'll read a chapter in a book or we'll talk, and I told her the other night, she has a beautiful singing voice and she just loves music so much. I told her to pick out, you know, a song that's one of her favorite songs, and that I'd learned it on guitar and that we could do that together and see about recording it and everything. So it's those little things where you're able to kind of like just create and be expressive. Like you're just like creating these really cool moments, and the fact that you get to do that for a living, like I think people look at that and like they don't realize like it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time, and the what you're doing like professionally, like it's hard to turn around and then sometimes to have energy to keep creating more and more and more on top of that. How do you balance like what you're trying to do with your work with what you also love, or is it just all in one basket for you, really?
It's really hard for me because I love my job to not constantly draw all the time. Mm-hmm. It's been a struggle over the past couple of years to set boundaries. And next year, one of my biggest goals is working on making sure I'm just working like 9 to 5. That's one of my biggest goals. But I think it's really important when you are making money doing what you love that you also take time to do what you love for yourself for free. Or else what you love only becomes work and only becomes a job and you start to resent it a little bit. So I draw a lot of personal art for myself, and I used to feel a little guilty about it, but now I'm like, this is the thing that's keeping my flame going to constantly do well at what I work for. So yeah, I think balance is really important, both in your physical, your mental, but then also the state in which you make your art shouldn't always just be for money to me.
That's really cool, because that gives you a chance to kind of try out some new techniques or new things, you know, without feeling like you're, you know, not doing right by somebody who's commissioned or paying for work. You have the room and freedom to kind of explore and to try new things out, huh?
Yeah. And it gives me things that I can bring into my commissions and say, you know, hey, I was fooling around with this thing. What do you guys think of me incorporating this into your piece? And sometimes it ends up kind of leveling up my art a little bit, doing personal art on the side.
Gotta level up. I like it.
Nice. So do you ever stream your art when you're creating it?
I do. I'm trying to stream a lot more than usual. I'm very nervous when I stream. I find that it's very hard for me to focus on what I'm doing and also try to be engaging and entertaining. So I either get nervous about what I'm saying or doing, and then nervous about people watching my process because they see your flaws and they see your mistakes. If they're only seeing the finished project, they don't watch all the iterations that you go through where you mess up. So I was really self-conscious about that at first, but now I've been trying to get into streaming more and conquer that fear. So I stream on Twitch, and I think I've streamed once a week for the past couple of weeks. So we're trying to bump that up to 2 times a week. We're going for affiliate.
I think consistency is really the main thing. Like if you get in and do it, you know, twice a week, and you and you start to, you know, I think with the reach that you have, the viewership is going to be a big deal. Maybe that's kind of feeds the anxiety a little bit, is that you know when you stream that a lot of people are going to show up. Yeah. But
I don't look at my numbers anymore. I hide them while I stream because if I see more than 10, it makes me feel self-conscious. So I just turn it off. And then my husband will come home and he'll be like, I took a look at your stream. You had over 50 today. And I was like, don't tell
me. Oh, nice.
That's
nice.
So awesome.
That is awesome. That's so
great.
So do you, while you're streaming, do you talk about your process at all?
I do. I try to. And I try to let people know, like, I don't know, the last stream that I did, I was working on a multiply pass and putting in shadows. And I was telling them, I don't know if I even like this color yet, but I'm going to see it through. And if I decide later on that I want to mess with it, it's on its own layer. So I can. And so I try to instruct, but sometimes I just get sucked into what I'm doing and I forget to tell people what's happening.
All right. Yeah. Now I definitely want to check out your streams, just because this is the kind of stuff that I've got no clue about, like the whole digital art part. And yeah, if I can learn and watch you create some of this art, that's definitely something I'm going to have a look at in the future here.
It's a lot to take in at first. And you'll find when you start getting into digital art that there's not a lot of tutorials out there that assume you know nothing. They always assume you have a base level of knowledge. And so I'm like, I didn't even know how to like make a new layer when I started. Like, where's the really, really early stuff? So I'm hoping that later on when I start my Patreon, I can help people that are really at the base level and know nothing start from a blank canvas and make something from it.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. I'm pretty sure I know what the word layer means, but after that, it's like, yeah, I got nothing.
There are so many tricks, and especially, like you said, if you're using Photoshop, there's just so many tricks and things that you pick up over the years that there's no way that you would just know this stuff or it's hard to kind of figure things out. So you have to have, I don't know, what do you, Fabelina, what do you use as a resource to when you're trying to learn new things or work on a new technique or kind of get inspired?
I think the best thing you can do is watch other artists stream. Watch them work in real time, ask them questions. Watching YouTube videos of time lapses and tutorials, but also just you know, making friends and reaching out to other artists who know more than you. I think all the biggest and best stuff I've learned were just conversations with people that were willing to share their knowledge with me.
Nice.
Yeah, and Twitch has really made it easy now. They've kind of broken things out to, it's not just gaming. You know, you can easily click on a couple of the different categories and find your way into a rabbit hole of people that are creating or creating cosplay or doing art or even music or, you know, all the IRL stuff. You know, there's a lot of different subcategories going on now. So you could, if you're interested in trying to watch that stuff, I think it's a lot easier to find than it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. What would you say if you could go back 5 years and give yourself some advice? What's like some, like the top three things that you would tell yourself that you wish you knew then, or things that you've learned along the way?
I would say get good sleep, make that a priority. Or just in general in life.
You know? Yeah, I suck at that.
Yeah.
Secondly, I would say be kinder to yourself, as in not expecting things to come easy to you, and for, you know, treat your work like you see other people's work. If you're kind and understanding and supportive of other people, you should be that way with yourself too. And lastly, just being kinder and more patient with others, I think, would be the top three things.
That's pretty awesome. There's nothing really like professionally or, you know, use this product or do this thing or, you know, your main goal is just being better, you know, being a good person.
Well, anybody can pick up the tools, but it's a lot harder to better yourself. And I think the better you become as a person, maybe this is cheesy, but I feel like that comes out in your art. And I think people can feel that a little bit through the things you.
Well, I mean, I know I'm drawn to people that I that are feel are a bit of a light. You know, you see them and they're a bit of a beacon. They're like something cool and positive and attractive about that. When you can see that somebody's not being negative or putting things down. I don't know. To each their own, but I really, you know, if you see somebody like doing their best and being positive and encouraging, it's like you just want to be a part of that, you know.
Like you guys.
Aw. Well, we're a couple of clowns, but we do what we can. We've talked a little bit about the community and kind of how you got to where you're at now. How important do you think it is to stay connected and to constantly kind of have that communication and finger on the pulse?
Well, I mean, the reason that I created a Twitter account in the first place and this whole thing started was because I wanted to feel a part of the community. It was a different community back then, but it quickly changed over to the Warcraft community. And I remember even that first year, 2014, I remember telling my husband, all I want is to be a part of this amazing community. And I did not expect to be welcomed with such open arms. So they're the reason that I draw every day, partially. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to me to be involved in community events, charities, when I do get to go to BlizzCon, to be really involved, and in general, just make sure everyone's doing okay and everyone's having a good time, because this community is so awesome.
It is pretty. There's a lot of really great people and great, I don't know. You can look at the different games, you know, and some games are struggling, some games are doing well, but it's the people really that kind of make it worth really digging into. That's definitely, I mean, it's easy for me to say with Daryl, you know, cause we're friends outside of podcasting and stuff, but like, that's a lot of why I keep coming back is our guildies and, you know, and then being able to spend time with these people. It's just super, super uplifting. It's fun, you know, or when it's hard, you're there to help and support each other. You know, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, all of the friends that I have right now, all of my close friends are in some way connected to this community. So it really is a big part of my world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. I'm the same way as well. I have a question. This is a big question here. So I think everyone saw the new Mercy skin for Overwatch. Now, my question is, because I'm still unclear, did you design that skin, or did they commission you to do a picture of that skin after they designed it?
The skin was already done when they commissioned me.
Okay.
So I got to see it after the fact.
Because
A little teeny tiny part of me hopes that maybe a little bit of my influence sneaked in there.
It
but
totally
no,
did.
I did. But I did cry like a baby when I opened that email and I saw her for the first time. It was amazing. And I'm so thankful that they thought of me and allowed me to do that.
Well, it you could see definite elements of like the whole fairy theme that you did for a lot of characters in that Mercy skin. Like just seeing that without knowing that they had commissioned you to do that picture, your first thoughts is this looks like something that you had done. Like I totally see that where they, I think they designed it off of elements of your art. I really do.
That would be amazing. But I was just in that moment, I was just like, the only thing that I wanted, because I was playing Overwatch when it was in alpha. And I remember thinking the only thing that could make this better is if they had skins. And then they, you know, announced that the game was going to have skins, and I was like, well, the only thing that could make this better is if Mercy, the character I was maining at the time, could be a fairy, because it just makes sense, you know? And then what is it? 2 years later, I opened an email from Blizzard and there she is. And I just was so emotional that like the one thing I wanted as a fan was happening, and that Overwatch like asked me to draw fan art of her for them was just the best moment. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but my grandmother made a doll version of my original fairy concept, and she's sitting on my desk above where I work. And it's just such a nice moment, you know?
That's awesome.
I can't thank them enough.
Have you posted a picture of that?
I have.
Okay,
it was a while ago.
Look. Yeah. I know that when I saw the Overwatch post originally with that on there, like, I didn't even bother to... I could have taken 2 seconds and went and looked. But I immediately fired off a tweet, like, right away, like, hey, the heck is this? You guys are just straight ripping off Evelina.
I got so many tags because I had to wait to post the picture until, mm-hmm. you know, it was officially announced. And so many people had messaged me and tagged me. And I was like, oh, they're going to love it in a few minutes.
It's but, super yeah. funny because you started doing like the whole fairy line of stuff like a while back. You went through and did like fairy versions of most, if not all, of the characters. And yep. then here we are now. You know, they actually put out an official one. And I'm like, no, that's just, that you just stole that from Fable. What the heck?
We've done every one of them but Ash and Hammond. Mm-hmm. So those are the only two left.
Is that on the docket?
Sometime. I started Wrecking Ball, and then the Halloween skin came out, and it was really close to what I was already doing. So I was like, I really need to go back to square one and,
oh, okay.
and start over and do something else. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So Ash will probably happen first before him.
Oh, Fairy Ash would be really cool.
Yeah, but totally.
I don't know. I'm more as long as you have Bob in there, we'll be all good.
Fairy Bob. We'll have to figure out what to do with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm, Fairy Bob, yeah, that's awesome. Well, we got a bunch of people in the chat here. You guys, let me know if you have any questions because we're probably going to wrap it up here pretty quick. Daryl, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so. Nothing specific anyway. I don't know. I just enjoy talking to Fabelina here about her art because yeah, it's amazing stuff that you do. Like, it really is. And you know, since we've had you on the first time, you know, it's just great following your Twitter to see when you post new pictures because it always looks phenomenal. It's mm-hmm. and it's definitely a unique style too. It's easily recognizable that it's your art, and it's always great.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, there's like a super, I don't, maybe like a Disney kind of quality about it where it just like it hits all those right notes where when you see it, you're like, yes.
I've had people in the past call my style Blizney, and I like it.
That's so good.
That is good. Nice.
We have Pleasurable Pain in the chat. So did you plan on being a professional artist, or was it a pastime that turned into your profession?
No, I did not plan on this at all. I fooled around and I doodled as a kid, and then my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time in college, saw me drawing in my notebooks. And when we got married, he's like, you really need to just pursue this full time because that's what you like and that's what you want. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was doing photography full time and I was photographing mm-hmm. weddings and I was happy, but I wasn't fulfilled. And mm-hmm. like, you need to just go for it. So it was at his urging that I was like, okay, I'll try, but I'm terrible mm-hmm. and no one's going to like this. And here we are, you know, almost 5 years later. So you'll have to thank Scorn for the fact that
absolutely,
I do this.
Man. So good. So you came up, what kind of training did you have then? Because there's a certain amount of artistic training that goes into, you know, being able to take photographs and doing wedding pictures and stuff like that. Where did you get a little bit of college ahead of time, or
I went to college to become a teacher, and then I substituted for a while and realized I really did not enjoy going to school to go to school. It mm-hmm. wasn't me. Even though I loved the kids, the work was not something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I went back to school and I took an online course for photography from the New York Institute of Photography. And then I photographed weddings and bridal showers and engagements for about 2 years. And then I was like, this is artistic, but it's not artistic enough. I don't feel like it's the right kind of art mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. me. And that's when Scorn was like, you need to do it. You need to just draw and take a chance. And that's what happened.
Perfect.
It's awesome.
Well, this is where it got you now. I'm sitting here doing a doing podcast on the internet with a couple of dudes. But, well, I guess if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server. I'm having a hard time reading tonight. It's the best way to get in touch and get real-time interactions with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests that you've heard here on the show tonight, like Fabelina. That's discord.me/TTD. And we are streaming our live show, so make sure you head over to twitch.tv/thetrainingdummies and give us a follow so you know when we fire up the stream.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shoutouts? So I can just say ditto.
Yeah, Fabelina, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule, because I know that you, it's not like you don't have anything to do. So thank you so, so, so much for just coming and hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure as much this time as it was the first.
Yay. Thanks to Daryl for all of his hard work. I know that, you know, losing a lot of our sound files and stuff's been kind of a pain. We've been re-putting some of this stuff together. Thanks to the raid team, especially. We had a 3-hour wipe session on Gahoon. We are still pushing to get that that heroic ahead of the curve Gahoon kill, and we didn't quite get it. We're super close. I think it was like 6%.
We had a 6.
So definitely a shout out to the raid team and all those folks for pushing. We're working on that, and I think hopefully we'll get it before the new stuff comes out. Daryl, what do you got?
Ditto. Of course the raid team, of course. Yeah, that was a tough 3 hours, but I think we'll get it this Friday for sure. We spent probably an hour and a half just getting it sorted out, who was doing what for carrying the balls in that fight. And once we got that sorted, we had some really good pulls. So I think we'll get it this week. Fabelina, of course. It was a pleasure. I'm glad you could come and talk to us again. It's amazing. It's been almost 4 years, as Rob was saying. That's crazy. It felt like just, you know, a couple of weeks ago that you were last on.
Yeah.
And Rob, yeah, shout out to you for setting this show up and getting Fabelita to come back and talk to us again. It was awesome. Fabelita, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Just right back at you guys and all the amazing work you do. And just thankful to Scorn for pushing me to draw, and this amazing community for the awesome and loving welcome that they give all the creatives within it.
Definitely. It's a really good community for that. Well, before we wrap this up, Fabelina, where can people reach you if they have any more questions or they want to just get in touch with you?
You can find me at Fabelina on both Twitter and Instagram.
All right. So before I wrap this up completely, I'm just going to announce that on our next episode that we record live on January 3rd, it'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Time. We are going to do giveaways during the show. We have a donor who wishes to remain anonymous, has donated Warcraft 3 Reforged, 1 year of Warcraft Game Time, and a NYXL shirt signed by the entire 2018 roster. So we'll be doing 3 giveaways during the recording of our show on January 3rd. So make sure you're there. So anyway, that wraps up episode 230 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust. From people you shouldn't.
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Oh, well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support.
At patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Minky face.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?